I'm Laura Palmer, host of Island Crime. Season 6, Sweethearts, is the story of three teenage girls who were all murdered in Victoria, Canada, within about 12 months.
So she was scared. Something out there scared her.
You just created the playground where predators can really thrive.
She was a 16-year-old girl. She was a sweetheart.
Listen to Sweethearts at frequencypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get podcasts.
Find your frequency.
You're listening to a Frequency Podcast Network production in association with City News.
Land disputes between First Nations and provincial governments are not uncommon in Canada. This one, though, is a little bit different.
To the East Coast, where the Wolastoqe Nation is filing a lawsuit against the province of New Brunswick and the government of Canada for Aboriginal title to their traditional lands.
That was how the dispute started last year. And when the New Brunswick government couldn't satisfy their request for title to their traditional land, the Wolastoqe escalated their claim last week.
The New Brunswick government was quick to react after the Wolastoqe chiefs filed a title claim, naming industry giants such as J.D. Irving and New Brunswick Power.
I cannot stand by as premier and just let things unfold, knowing that most New Brunswickers are unaware.
Now both the government and the Wolastoqe nations find themselves in unprecedented territory. What does it mean that so many major corporations have been named in this dispute? How should the government respond? And what is the critical difference between a land claim and a title claim that will make all the difference in this case? Oh, and why do the Wolastoqe nations so badly want to make their own decisions about what happens to this land? Why now? I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. This is The Big Story. Angel Moore, Cree of Pegwes First Nation, is the Atlantic Region video journalist for APTN. Hello, Angel.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing really well, thanks. Thank you for taking the time for us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Can you begin just to situate our listeners a bit by telling us about the Wolastoqe Nation? Who and where are they?
The Wolastoqe Nation is an organization that represents the six Wolastoqe communities in New Brunswick. The Wolastoqe have lived along the St. John River Valley in New Brunswick, which actually goes into Maine and up towards the St. Lawrence River in Quebec. But the traditional territory in question is the six Wolastoqe chiefs in New Brunswick that are claiming.
And maybe you can explain the origin of this land claim before we get into the recent developments and why we're talking about it today. Tell me about their original lawsuit against New Brunswick.
The original land claim was filed about a year ago, and the Wolastoqe chiefs, the six Wolastoqe chiefs, were requesting Aboriginal title to their traditional land, which is about 60% of the province of New Brunswick. I was told that they were talking with the provincial government of New Brunswick, and they weren't making much steps forward. So last week, they announced a new claim, and it's an Aboriginal title claim, the same as last year for their traditional lands. But this time they're including industries, J.D. Irving Limited and 18 of its subsidiaries, and New Brunswick Power, some other industry forestry giants that have been operating on their land for quite some time.
How unique is that in terms of land claims? Are they traditionally just made against the government? Or are corporations often brought in?
Land claim, usually it's land that a nation operates on a reserve, or today we say a community.
Mm-hmm.
And the dispute is the reserve land. And they can, you know, offer to buy it back from the province. A Mi'kmaq community in Cape Breton did that not too long ago, that sort of thing. An Aboriginal title, which this is quite different. Aboriginal title is the claim to the traditional territory. It means the Indigenous people have title over that land. meaning if anyone is on the land, profiting from the land, or operating from the land, there's a duty to consult with that nation. And that nation has their rights back to take care and protect that land as they did before colonialism. And this was an agreement with the treaty signed with the crown from 1725 to 1778. But the main one is the 1725-1726 treaty that explicitly acknowledges Wolastoqua title. And that title acknowledging lawful settlement process, meaning consult, basically. Similar as the Peace of Friendship treaties that the Mi'kmaq signed. It's Aboriginal title. There's a duty to consult. And the treaties say that the Wolastoqua have a right to hunt, fish, and gather and live on their traditional territory as they have before. In British Columbia, it's the same concept. The Wet'suwet'en did not cede or surrender their land as well.
Thank you for that context. That's really important, I think, for myself and the listeners to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question about this dispute then is, you mentioned, I think, a few minutes ago that we're talking about 60% roughly of the province here. What's on that land? It must be everything from industry, who are named in the title dispute, to like ordinary New Brunswick homes and farms, right?
That's right. The industry occupies about 20% of the title claim area, which is about 11% of the entire province. It's crown land as well. So there is forestry, just vacant land as well. So it does include, I guess, everything under the sun, so to speak.
What do the Wolastoqua nations want to do should they be granted this title? Like, why are they fighting for this right now?
They're asking for compensation from the government, for the provincial government, who has profited from this land, and the Wolastoqua were not consulted, and they're claiming the lands used by industry. In the claim itself, I have read that they want the Aboriginal title declaration of the land, airspace, water, offshore, inshore, everything in that region of their traditional territory. For industry, they want compensation for the use of their land and that land back, because the province sold that land to the industry that is operating on the Wolastoqua traditional territory. And the Wolastoqua are saying in their claim that that is a violation of the Peace and Friendship Treaties, because they, in the treaties, they say they're to be consulted, which they were not.
Right.
They're also mentioning damages and compensation from the Crown defendants, which is the province and the feds, for breaking the Crown's obligations. And they're saying it's unlawful occupation of these lands and removal of resources. The chief spoke about climate change and protecting these resources. They said they do not want to shut down these industries, but they want to work with these industries and consult with these industries. And the chief had been very explicit, saying they do not want to destroy the New Brunswick economy. And they state in the claim numerous times, I've read it a few times over the weekend, that they do not want to claim any lands that belong to personal homeowners.
Mm.
It's 600 pages, and it lists all the companies occupying this land. And, you know, when you file these claims, you name who the defendants are, right?
Right.
But also there's three or four paragraphs that explicitly say, if you are not named in this list of companies, you will not be part of this claim.
How has the province responded to this request? Demand, I guess.
Well, last week, Premier Higgs held a press conference, and he said that this claim would bankrupt the economy, and that homeowners' property rights are at risk. The value of property is at risk. And this is a unprecedented claim, the first of its kind in Canada. He said it's huge and astronomical for any province to deal with. And he kept saying through the press conference numerous times that it was 60% of the province. And he said, how do we deal with this? Is it $1 trillion or $1 billion or $2 trillion or $3 trillion. And he said, how and where do we start? And he said, the Wolastoqe chiefs are not being clear about private properties. But they are. They are clear. It's right. Laid out in the claim evidently. And the chiefs have said publicly in press conferences that that is not the case. There is a difference between a land claim and an Aboriginal title claim. Right. There is a very big difference.
In general, how are relations between the provincial government and particularly Premier Higgs and the First Nations in the province? This seems like something that would test a good relationship, never mind whatever we would describe it as now.
So with the Wolastoqe people, there's about 4,000 living in New Brunswick, not to mention the other provinces and American states. So the relationship with the provincial government in the last year, there has been calls from the Wolastoqe chiefs and the Mi'kmaq chiefs for a inquiry into the justice system and systemic racism. And that came from the shooting of Chantal Moore, June 2020. And then, you know, 9 days later, the shooting of Rodney Levi in June 12th, both by police. Chantal Moore was a wellness check, mm-hmm. and she was shot killed by the police officer at her doorstep. Rodney Levi, it turned out to be a mental health check. He was shot and killed by an RCMP officer. Chantal Moore was shot and killed by an Edmundston police officer. About a month ago, I was at the coroner's inquest into Rodney Levi's death, and it was ruled a homicide. That was a week long, and it was very emotional and very traumatic for his family and supporters. The Chantal Moore coroner's inquest is coming up at the end of February. Wolastoqe and the Mi'kmaq chiefs, and frankly, everyone in this entire region are calling for an independent Indigenous inquest into systemic racism in the justice system and policing, which was denied by Premier Higgs. Hmm. Premier Higgs also canceled tax agreements with the First Nation communities in New Brunswick, which is a huge blow to First Nations economies. Also, the New Brunswick government is developing a truth and reconciliation process, and the First Nation chiefs say they are not being consulted or included. Truth and Reconciliation Day, the first day, the provincial government did not make that a provincial holiday, despite calls from communities to do so. Just recently, October 14th, Mr. Fleming of the provincial government sent out a memo to government employees not to acknowledge ancestral territory anymore. You know how at a speech or something or any event, you know, it's respectful to say, you know, we are here on whoever's unceded territory, right?
Right.
So Minister Fleming sent out a memo asking employees not to do that anymore.
This does not sound like a good faith relationship that might lead to a peaceful and amicable resolution of this title dispute.
Oh, you're right. And that's just a short part of the history of New Brunswick.
Hi there, I'm Gavin Crawford. I'm a writer, an actor, and a comedian. And for the last 8 or 9 years, I have been navigating life with my mother's increasing dementia. Has it been sad? Yeah. Has it been funny? Also, yeah. That's what my brand new podcast series, Let's Not Be Kidding, is about. It's the true story of my life as a comedian, my mom, and dementia. Let's Not Be Kidding, with me, Gavin Crawford. A new 7-part series from CBC Podcasts, available now.
So assuming then, and, you know, I'm not putting words in their mouth, because as you mentioned, they've already kind of said it, assuming the provincial government is not going to acquiesce to these requests, where does this go in the courts and what's the next step?
Chief Bernard said that it could take, you know, a decade to do this.
Wow.
The premier was criticized in the legislative building by his opposition for his remarks. The chiefs said he was fear-mongering, and the chief said it was evident that he did not understand the difference between a land claim and a title claim. There's a newly elected regional chief of New Brunswick, Chief Joanna Bernard. I spoke with her. She said, you know, that it's in the courts, and she is meeting with all the chiefs of the province, and will be taking their recommendations to Ottawa and to the AFN general meeting. She said, though, that it will set the grounds for the Mi'kmaq of New Brunswick, who are also working on their Aboriginal title claim. Right now, they are consulting with elders and knowledge keepers to develop a mapping of their traditional territory. And they are speaking with the province right now. It is not filed in court, but they're in discussions.
The last thing I want to ask you about, because it's kind of the only thing we haven't tackled, is the corporations who are also named in this. Have we heard any response from any of them? I know the Irvings in particular have a pretty strong foothold in the province and, you know, are one of the major power brokers there. Are they willing to engage with this? What do we know?
I reached out for them for a comment, and they said that they will not comment because it is in the courts.
So no word for a decade then, possibly.
I guess not. You know, it's difficult to understand the difference between, like I said before, the land claim and the Aboriginal title. It's confusing. And I think an important thing to realize is that people have different interpretations of what a title claim is and what the land is and the traditional territory is, as opposed to when Premier Higgs was discussing that private homeowners' property is at risk. A title claim is the understanding when the treaties were signed that the Crown said, you can hunt, fish, live, and harvest on your traditional territory as you have before European contact, which the Wolastoqiyi did and other nations did. So it's a concept that might be different to understanding land in the colonialism aspect, if that makes sense.
It does. And I mean, I can see why the chiefs would say that it's easy to fearmonger off of this, because it is something that takes a nuanced understanding that I didn't have before we had this conversation. So I can imagine it would be really easy to gin up fear amongst ordinary citizens of New Brunswick who live on that unceded territory.
Right. Yes. It's not, you know, like we're going to take that square lot of land and anything that is there is gone.
Right.
You could almost look at it more like as a jurisdiction over traditional land and resources.
Like a municipal government, where if you want to do something different with the land, you got to submit a request and get input on it and get approval, right? That's what we're talking about here?
Yes. And the Wolastoqiyi have made it very clear that they're interested in the corporations operating on their traditional land and the resources on their traditional land. They want to protect those resources for generations to come. Also, those resources those corporations are using and profiting from could be an economic foundation for these nations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Mark Miller spoke about a month ago. I think he said it's time to give land back, which, you know, was shocking to a lot of people for him to say that. But even those words, land back, means a lot in the Indigenous context. For each nation, it has a different meaning, obviously, because each nation has their own culture, their own language, their own traditions. But, you know, this has been going on for a long time. There was Idle No More in Ottawa and, you know, the Wet'suwet'en opposing the pipeline project in northern BC at Wapiskat land for housing up to the James Bay region.
Yeah.
This is not new. If you look at the entire country, this has been happening for quite some time. in my region, it seems to be happening more in the courts. I spoke to a land protector in Elsie Boktuk, a Mi'kmaq woman who was at the fracking protests. She said today she's fighting through the courts. They're still doing protests and other ways and means to raise awareness. You know, they're having walks and rallies for Indigenous issues, but also now it seems to be going through more of the court system. The Wolastoqiyi chiefs have told me that they feel that they have no choice but to go through the courts.
It will be fascinating to see how this plays out. I hope it doesn't take a decade. Thank you, Angel, for explaining this to us.
Thank you.
Angel Moore for APTN. That was The Big Story. For more from us, head to thebigstorypodcast.ca. Find us on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN. Talk to us via email, TheBigStoryPodcast, all one word, at rci.rogers.com. If you like, you can find this podcast in your favorite podcast player and subscribe, rate, review, etc. If you're lazy and you have a smart speaker, you can just ask it to play The Big Story Podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath-Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.